Mana karmarvasam pradyunte avidya yatmani apadhiyamane patirna vayan mani vasudeve namuchate deha yogena tavat. Word for word. Evam, thus. When the living entity is covered by the mode of ignorance, he does not understand the individual living being and the supreme living being, and his mind is subjected to fruitive activity. Therefore, until one has love for Lord Vasudeva, who is none other than myself, he is certainly not delivered from having to accept a material body again and again. Please repeat. When the living entity, Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, when the mind is polluted by fruit of activity, the living entity wants to be elevated from one material position to another. Generally, everyone is involved in working hard day and night to improve his economic condition. Even when one understands the Vedic rituals, he becomes interested in promotion to heavenly planets, not knowing that one's real interest lies in returning home back to Godhead. By acting on the platform of fruitive activity, one wanders throughout the universe in different species and forms. Unless he comes in contact with a devotee of the Lord, a guru, he does not become attached to the service of Lord Vasudeva. Knowledge of Vasudeva requires many births to understand. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Vasudeva Savaramiti Samahatma Sudurlapa. After struggling for existence for many births, one may take shelter of the lotus feet of Vasudeva Krishna. When this happens, one actually becomes wise and surrenders unto him. That is the only way to stop the repetition of birth and death. This is confirmed in the Chaitanya-charitamrita, Madhya 19.151. In the instructions given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Rupa Goswami at Damsa Bandhagat, Brahmananda Brahmeti Kono Bhai Bhagyavan Jiva Guru Krishna Pasade Pada Paya Bhakti Latabij. The living entity wanders throughout different planets and different forms and bodies, but if by chance he comes in contact with a bona fide spiritual master, by the grace of the spiritual master, he receives Lord Krishna's shelter, and his devotional life begins. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishnamastaya Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tamina Mises Vatrihi Gordon Charni Sis Swami Sarni Pramakaja. Okay. So I'd like to begin to say I'm sorry for being here. Gaur Shakti has me engaged too much, you know, today, so I don't have time to study, so I have to, you know. But then I was thinking, actually, you know, Krishna's asked like this to this devotee, so therefore I have to go above my false ego, whatever, and accept such a thing, because it's what we should do. If Krishna wants us to do things, things come to us, we should try to do those things in devotional service. Anyway, so here I am, and I'm sorry there's so many more exalted souls that are here, so please forgive me for any shortcomings. Actually, it's describing here how the living entity, how he actually wants to elevate himself in the material energy. And we see actually that so many people in the material world, they're trying to progress materially, and they don't have no interest whatsoever to develop spiritually, and they think this is happiness, but in actuality, it only brings more and more misery. Just as we see nowadays, as the material economic situation is growing throughout the world, people are becoming more and more mentally disturbed. As we know, I don't really know all these statistics, but there's so much antidepressant drugs that are now out there that millions and millions and millions of people are actually taking, because there's so much in anxiety, there's so much stress from the struggle for existence. Just like I know in the West anyways, it's like most families, both of them have to work to maintain their status quo. Both of them have jobs, and therefore they have to work very hard And as it's happening now more and more, they have to travel longer distance to go to their place of work. And then there's the traffic jams, and there's so much material energy conflict is there that is very disturbing on the mind. And we can see actually how people, why they're taken to these antidepressant drugs and such, because their life is such a miserable situation actually. And sometimes they have these big, huge, massive homes, and but yet they're working so hard, they don't have a chance to enjoy. So therefore, they're just existing in the struggle of the material energy, suffering more and more and more. And some, we see some people who are, because of their karmic reactions, they're struggling in the streets, they're living in the streets. Just like here, you see, everywhere you go, you see people living in the street, in the West also. Just before coming here, I was in Vancouver and doing some books with one devotee there, and I saw these people lying on the street like they do here, but yet it was like, you know, 5 below 0, which is like pretty cold, and at nighttime is even getting down to 10 below. So one fellow was lying there with all these blankets wrapped around him, just there on the street, and you know, shivering kind of thing, you know. But it's like this is the suffering of the living entity when he tries to enjoy separately from Krishna and tries to become happy. So Krishna puts the living entity in different situations where he has to suffer in these different ways. So as a result of people's activities, they have to get a corresponding situation in the future. So therefore we see so many other types of living entities, insects and animals, and it's amazing sometimes when you look at some of these insects, like a butterfly or so many different varieties actually. If you look at them really closely, you look at the design of some of these bodies, and they're very amazing actually, some of them. Some have so many legs and so many different colors and so many different spots on them, so symmetrically designed. They look very beautiful actually, some of them. And you figure, how is it that this living entity has got this body here? And because we ourselves, we're connected, I mean, as a soul, we also could have been in that same exact body. So how is it possible that they get these such bodies? And as we know, as our activities that we do in this life, this will shoot us to our next future situation. Just like the other day, I was distributing some of these pamphlets for the Upandel program, and we're up on this big hill here, where I guess where all the prestigious people live, whatever. And I was going through the park, and they're shooting this movie, and there's one beautiful movie star that was sitting there off on the side, and she had someone combing her hair, someone's putting makeup on her, kind of thing, you know. And I was thinking, actually, so I couldn't really give her a pamphlet because she was, you know, so busy, whatever, but I was giving, you know, to all the other people around, and there's about 10 police officers that were there. I gave it to them, you know. So you all got to read Hare Krishna, Krishna's name, and see the picture of pure devotee Srila Prabhupada. But I couldn't give to this one actress because she was, you know, too busy engaged. And I was thinking how this person is very beautiful in this lifetime, and how she must be thinking of, she's in her glorious time right now. But how is her connection with Krishna? I mean, what is really there? And I was thinking that if this individual doesn't come in contact with devotees of Krishna, or doesn't come in contact with Krishna consciousness, then she could get such a body. These little insects, this beautiful little tiny insect with all the different colors and whatever, the same person could have that body in her next life. So this is our precarious situation here in the material world, that actually we're destined for these bodies. If we do not take to Krishna consciousness, this is our destiny. So therefore we should try to take advantage and realize our fortune, and therefore try to increase our understanding in this way. So as we are fortunate to be a devotee of Krishna, by the mercy of the pure devotee, we have the opportunity to understand who we really are. So to understand who we really are, we have to try to see the material world for what it is, and realize that death is happening all around us, and we are also going to die, and therefore we should become serious to be come Krishna conscious. And just as I see now, it's just like 10 years ago, I remember, at that time, you know, the odd devotee, you may hear maybe passing away, he might have got cancer or whatever, and the odd devotee. But now it's like you hear so often, so many different people, our relatives we know, or devotees we may know, because devotees, as they're getting older, and the disease material world is here, so devotees also, the body does get diseased. So we see so many individuals who are devotees also passing away. And it becomes a little bit sobering, especially people that we knew closely. And I know two devotees in particular. One devotee, what happened to him, when he was a little child, one of his relatives was holding him or something, anyways, and he fell down the stairs and he kind of hurt his hip. And so his whole life, he went through a life with this pain in his hip. And he was always giving him so much trouble, and he was always, you know, complaining how this body is useless. And I remember this devotee used to tell me, he said, I'll be glad when Krishna gets rid of this body and I get a new body. He'd always often say like that. And one time, last year, he was getting some pain in his chest or something like that, so he went to the doctor to get a checkup, and he had cancer in his liver, and somehow or another pain was reacting that way. And the cancer has spread to such a degree, he said, you have 6 days to 6 months left to live. And before that, he had no idea. He was just going on as normally, and he had no idea. And all of a sudden, he was facing death. I mean, reality's right there. So we were going to visit him in the hospital, and we're talking, and it was interesting. His consciousness was like Maharaj was mentioning how this one devotee, who was also getting ready to die with cancer, and how she was reading Prabhupada's books, and she was getting so much realization of Prabhupada's association through this reading, and so Krishna was helping her in that way. So this devotee also similar, he was actually wasn't scared at all. I asked him, I says, are you afraid? You know that you're actually going to pass away, and he said, no, not really. He says, I know. I have faith that Krishna's going to give me a better situation. And he says there may be some fear at the exact crucial moment. He said, but basically he says I'm not really afraid, and which I was really glad to hear that, because I myself thinking if I'm going to die, I think I'd probably be afraid actually. But anyway, and he said the same thing. He says this body's useless. You know, this body's given so much pain. You know, in this lifetime, you know, I'll look forward to it. He was actually looking forward to it actually, and so it's quite nice. So Krishna makes these different arrangements for the devotees. Anyway, so then, and it was just a matter of actually 6 days, actually, that he did end up passing away. But the point is, his consciousness was situated nicely. He said he was actually getting pictures of Prabhupada in his mind and Krishna like this, and he was feeling very, you know, comfort in that, actually. And there's this other devotee, his name was Ukram. This is a few years ago. And he had MS and his body was going downhill. And I remember we used to do Sangatan together at one point. He used to have a cane because he couldn't walk so well. So he'd have like a roll of paintings and a cane. He'd walk around like we're doing door to door. And I remember one time I had a boil on my leg and it was hard to walk. So I asked if I could borrow his cane for that particular day. So I was borrowing his cane when I was, you know, I was going door to door, and I was realizing, when you knock on a door, it's like, the reception you get from people are, you know, mixed sometimes. But I was seeing, because they saw me more as a cripple with a cane, that they looked down on me more, and they kind of became a little bit more harsh in their mannerism, kind of. And I was appreciating how this devotee actually was going through this every day, more this kind of, you know, hardship more than, you know, the average devotee. In any case, so as time went on, the devotee, his disease progressed more and more, and he had to end up going in a wheelchair. And then he was at the temple, and what he would do, he'd go out every day, actually, in his last 4 or 5 months in his body, he would go out every day distributing books. He'd go downtown. It was a big ordeal, especially for him. And he'd catch a sky train to go downtown, and he'd go downtown in his wheelchair and have his books there, and he could pass them out to everyone and like that. And sometimes, when he would come back, because it's a really steep hill coming down to the temple, he'd actually fall out of his chair. And sometimes the ambulance would have to come and pick him up, or people would come and help him, whatever. Anyways, I remember one Christmas marathon, as this was going on, and the temple president in Vancouver, he was explaining the glories of this devotee going out doing his book distribution. And he started crying, actually, just realizing the austerity and what this devotee had to go through to do what he was doing. And Anyway, so this devotee, he was actually, you could see, he was, as his disease was progressing, he was getting more and more realization of Krishna. And he was actually beginning you could see it beginning to come closer to Krishna. Sometimes he'd be reading or he'd be hearing things and you'd see tears going down his eyes. It was like he was absorbing so nicely Krishna philosophy. And then anyways, he ended up passing away with all the devotees around chanting, and it was a glorious death that way. So Krishna, he protects his devotees. Krishna actually, he makes sure that, makes arrangements for his devotees to actually come back to him. And this is Krishna's mercy. And the greatest test of all is this idea of death, which is going to happen to all of us. And somehow or another, we have to focus our consciousness more and more on Krishna so that when our time comes, we can be somewhat Krishna conscious. And I was just realizing how myself, I'm not Krishna conscious that way. Recently, I've been going to the dentist over here, and one day I was getting this root canal done, another stage of the root canal, and the dentist said, well, you don't really need to freeze it because the nerve is dead, but actually there was a little bit of nerve left down at the bottom or something. Anyway, so he's working on my mouth, and all of a sudden I heard this, I got this really super sharp pain, like an intense pain, like a knife going in you or something. It was so painful. And I was like, whoa, you know. And I couldn't think of Krishna. Sometimes I'm in a dentist chair, I'm trying to think of Hare Krishna, trying to think of chanting Krishna, you know, and the idea of death, trying to remember Krishna. But when this pain came so sharply, it was like I just couldn't think of Krishna. All I could think was the pain. And I had to go through that for about 5 minutes where, you know, kind of work on my tooth like that. And it was just, oh, I never experienced such pain and I can't remember. And I was realizing actually how, you know, we have to, in those situations, that's when we have to think of Krishna, actually. And I remember in the past, other times, I've been on the van with devotees on Sangratam, whatever. One time we had this accident, and we're going down the highway sideways, and I was just looking what was going on. Okay, now we're turning this way, we're going that way. Okay, this car is coming that way. And I was just, you know, I wasn't thinking of Krishna. I was just watching what was going on. Meanwhile, the devotee beside me, he was like chanting, Hare Krishna, really loud. And I was realizing how much, and anyways, ended up we just went in the ditch. It wasn't so bad, but I was realizing how myself, I need to be so much more Krishna conscious than what I am. And because we could get, you know, if we're not Krishna conscious, we can get so many different types of bodies. Actually, another living entity I wanted to mention was the, being where I'm from, it's in the mountains in Canada, a place called Sharanagati. And there we have bears up there. And this would be an example of people who like sleeping a lot. And basically, the bears, you know, 6 months of the year, whatever, in the wintertime, they hibernate and then they go to sleep. And so one night, I was in my house and I heard this noise on the porch. And I opened the door, and I guess because of the food inside the house, the bear, they can smell the food. So you open the door and the bear, huge black male bear, big bear, biggest bear I've ever seen in my life, actually. And is right there on the porch, like as close, like 1 foot from my face, so to speak. And anyways, he was kind of shocked, though, but I was shocked, and I didn't know what if he was going to, you know, charge me, whatever. And I just slammed the door, and I guess, you know, and he ended up leaving. But the idea is that he could have just one swat with his paw, and that could have been it just like that. And it's like, so many times we see our lives that we can die in so many different ways, actually. I remember one time, just before I was becoming a devotee, I was in Mexico, and I was playing in the ocean. And it was like this really strong riptide that was coming through, happening. But we're just at the very edge, so it wasn't so bad. But then all of a sudden, this big, huge wave came in, and it took me out to the bigger waves. And the current was so strong, I just would hold my breath and smash. I'd get smashed down, and I'd turn around, and it was like I'd just get another breath of fresh air just in time, and all of a sudden another wave would smash on top of me. And I was just getting pounded, and I was getting exhausted, and I was getting pushed out more and more. And I was getting hit wave after wave after wave like that. And then finally, what happened, actually, I almost gave up. Another one, two waves for sure would have given up, and I would have died, for sure, guaranteed. But somehow another Krishna, he saved me, the waves kind of brought me back in. I touched the bottom of the seabed there and made it back, and I was okay. And I realized, whoa, that was so close, actually. And so I remember when it was time for me to become a devotee, I remember back on that situation, that actually, if I don't, If I don't, you know, take to this Krishna consciousness, then, you know, what is my destination? What is my life? Which would, I would have got one of those bear bodies or those insect bodies, what have you. So it helped in that way. So Krishna, sometimes he arranges for his devotees to different things to help him to make the right decisions. And I remember actually when I first joined, I was like practically the only bhakta that stayed back in the temple. And it was like, and the thing I hated doing the worst was cleaning pots. For some reason, I just hated washing pots. And that was my service. I had to wash the pots. I had to clean the whole temple room. And it was like, it was just so much. And I couldn't hear the classes so much that I wanted to hear because I had so much service to do. Here, it's a little bit different because there's so many devotees. It's like, it's kind of a different situation. But in the West, at that time, there was hardly any devotees at the temple. Most of it was out on Sangatan. So anyway, so I found the first 2 weeks of my Krishna consciousness was the hardest I ever had in my whole life because I had to really surrender. But I saw how Krishna was helping in different ways. He would sometimes bring a devotee, like a new person, and the person would join for a couple of days. So I had a little bit of help, and then the person would leave. And it was a test for me, should I leave also or should I stay? And I figured, no, I got to stay. And then I remember one time I was listening to a tape of Prabhupada, and it was really, it probably said something which hit me. And I really grasped it, and I really, yeah, I needed to hear that. That's what I, according to my situation right now. And then, mystically, that evening during the Bhagavad Gita class, I went downstairs, and the devotee giving class was on the exact same verse. So the coincidence of things happening was, you know, was like, to me, was I could see Krishna show me, yes, this is real. Because sometimes, especially in the beginning, there's so many doubts. But Krishna, sometimes he will help even in these kind of ways to actually encourage his devotees to continue on. So in any case, so we have to keep going on and on and on like that. And I remember thinking, actually, well, if I give this 1 year, I'll give this 1 year and see how I feel after 1 year. I'll give it, you know, some time. And anyways, and then I from there I just, you know, I just, you know, kept going on. But it's like, sometimes I tell people, it's the best decision I ever made in my life, actually, to become a devotee of Krishna. And sometimes we may think, actually, well, it's a struggle to give up material sense gratification, to give up the material world, and to reconnect ourselves again with Krishna and our true constitutional position. Because we've been a devotee for so long, we've been a non-devotee, rather, for so long, so many countless lifetimes, and we have so many habituated habits and so many desires and so many things that we have to break off from and reconnect with Krishna. So it's a struggle and it takes energy and effort to do that. But we have to therefore hear on a regular basis, get the association of more exalted devotees and realize the importance of actually committing ourselves to this Krishna conscious movement. And realize what is our destination if we do not do that, and what is our destination if we do this. And therefore, Krishna, he sends his different representatives to help us in this way. And basically, like Prabhupada, he was so, because he was so Krishna conscious, he could explain Krishna conscious philosophy because he was realizing it could touch the heart. And therefore, devotees, they could actually grasp that, and they could actually take advantage and become devotees of Krishna. Just like I was listening last night, Ranath Maharaj was talking about this one devotee from, Ramanuja, and there was some procession going by with a deity and everything, and there's this one man, he was fanning this lady, and he was just absorbed in this lady and wasn't even looking at the deity or anything, and possession. So Ramanuja, he got one of his disciples to go, you know, get this man so I could speak to him. So anyway, so the person, he was a little bit pious, and he said, "Oh, Ramanuja, the great acharya, he wants to speak to me." And he kind of, oh, okay. So he went to Ramanuja. Ramanuja said, "Why are you doing this? You're so foolish, doing this. You're, you know, the deity is going by, and you're fanning this lady here." He says, "But this lady's eyes are so beautiful." He says, "They're so beautiful. I'm just so attracted. I just so absorbed. I you know." And he says, "Well, I can show you." And then the person said, "But if there's something more beautiful than this, then I could, you know, perhaps, you know, give this up, whatever." So in any case, so Ramanuja says, "Well, come to the temple of Sri Rangam and tonight and or today and whatever, and then I'll show you something more beautiful." So he came and he saw the deity lying down, Mahavishnu, and he looked at the eyes, And the eyes to him were so beautiful all of a sudden, more beautiful than this lady that he was fanning, more beautiful. Although he had probably, Maharaj was explaining, he had probably seen this deity, you know, often because he lived in the area, but yet somehow or another he was able to see the beauty of the eyes of the deity in a different light because of the mercy of the pure devotee, because he was able to anoint his eyes with the ability to see the true beauty of the deity. And thus, this person seeing the beauty of the deity like this, Krishna consciousness awoken in his heart. And then, anyways, it ended up that Ramanuja asked him to marry this person he was fanning, and they both became very, very great devotees. And there's other pastimes to that, which you probably all heard. But in any case, the point is that the pure devotee, he actually had, because of his ability, because of his surrender to Krishna, and because of his elevation in Krishna consciousness, he is able to present Krishna to the fallen souls, if one is sincere, to such a way that one can actually take advantage of that and start progressing on the goal of life. And I had an experience myself personally, just recently actually, this last year, where I was appreciating the exalted quality of saintly devotees. And that had to do with Radhanath Maharaj, actually. And what had happened, actually, myself, when I had joined, it was just after Prabhupada had left. And then I took initiation from, at that time, it was the Zone Acharya days. And so I took initiation according to the person in the zone. And so I surrendered to my Diksha Guru and everything, and things are going fine. But then after some time, when as we know our history, as the Guru started leaving, I started personally losing a little bit of faith a little bit, and I started taking more shelter of Srila Prabhupada. And as I did that, I found over the years I connected more with Srila Prabhupada as my Shiksha Guru, and less and less with my Diksha Guru. And so it had been like 15 years since I had even had any contact with my Diksha Guru whatsoever. And I came, actually, I became almost what is called a little bit soft Ridvik. Although I didn't reject my Diksha Guru because I, you know, he gave me the holy name and everything, and I appreciate him that much, but basically that way. But I mostly, you know, was taking shelter of Prabhupada and like that. And then anyway, so what happened this summer, Radhanath Maharaj, he had came to our farm in Sharanagati. And when he first came and he started speaking, and I was like, I could feel the penetration of his words, his realization entering my heart. But I was fighting it at the same time. And I figured, you know, because of the Ridvik conception, what have you. And anyways, and after 3 days of him being there, and after the third day, it was so, I could see Krishna was revealing to me that I have to take shelter of this person. Anyways, I remember I went home that night after the last day, and I just felt like a whole new chapter was opening up, or whatever. It was like a whole, whatever. It was just a whole opening of my karmic reactions, whatever. I don't know, but my eyes were just watering. I just was appreciating so much Krishna giving me such an opportunity to meet such a saintly soul. And anyway, so long story short. So basically, so I ended up writing my Diksha Guru after so many years, and asking permission to take Shiksha from Radhanath Maharaj, like that. And now Radhanath Maharaj has accepted, so very merciful. And I feel also that to reconnect again with my Diksha Guru. So this is the mercy of the great souls, those who have cultivated Krishna consciousness seriously, and year after year, you can see that they become very saintly in quality, and they have this ability to, that when they speak, that actually their realizations can enter the heart, and you can actually take so much a direction and benefit from them for your spiritual advancement. It's described actually like how the rarity of such of the pure devotees. The spiritual master is the analogy given like a log, a piece of driftwood with a knot hole in it, and it's floating in the ocean. And then a turtle happens to be on the ocean, and it comes up for air, and its head goes to the knot hole in this piece of driftwood. The rarity is so, so rare. And if you analyze actually how many different living entities there are, I mean, just in 1 inch of space, how many different atoms, what have you, or each living entity and each atom and you know, the trees and on and on and on. There's billions and billions and billions of living entities. And somehow or another, and then the living entity gets the human form after so many, you know, countless lifetimes of the different species. And then Manushyam Sahasrishu, after so many of souls that get the human form, how many really become interested in God consciousness? And those, how many really actually get the opportunity to actually really meet or really have the chance to take up Krishna consciousness? So our situation is very, very, very fortunate. And our destination is so glorious to someday go back home, back to Godhead. And but we have to put up the as I was saying a little bit earlier, the struggle to progress in that direction. We have to try to increase our Krishna consciousness. Generally what happens in devotional service is that we go through sometimes, well, at least for some of us, we go through different phases. And sometimes the phase may be when some exalted souls come and gives our association. Like here, you're very fortunate because you have the association of Radhanath Maharaj and some of the other great sannyasis, good nice sannyasis that come on a regular basis. But in other parts of the world, we're not getting that association as much. And so therefore, when the association does come, you know, whenever it is there, we should always try to take advantage as much as possible. But the idea is that, so we have to sometimes increase our Krishna consciousness when those events happen in our lives. Because sometimes when we're out there and association isn't so much perhaps, then we have to live on that charged energy, so to speak, of when we did have the highlights more in our Krishna consciousness. Just like I remember when we used to go on a Sangratam in Vancouver, it was like, usually we have a party of four devotees. And on average, we got to go back to the temple maybe twice a year. And that was generally it. Twice a year we go back to the temple. Although we had some preaching centers in other parts of the country where it was more lucrative for collecting whatever. And we would, you know, meet together sometimes in different parties, whatever. And I remember actually one festival when we were coming back to the farm, actually, Sharanagati. And one of our treats was that Radhanath Maharaj was coming and as a sannyasi. And so we got to see him as brahmacharis and get his association. And it was very, very nice and seeing him. And actually, there was a video taken back at that time. And it was an old video, not professionally done or anything, but, you know. Anyways, and then this one devotee happened to have this video studying in his in his place somewhere. And because Radhanath Maharaj had come recently to the farm, so we took it out and I watched it, and I could see actually what he was preaching, humility, preaching the false ego, to become Krishna conscious. He was preaching back then, preaching the same thing now, but you can see how the fruits of that is becoming more and more manifested in his person. And it was like so nice to see like that actually, that he was actually doing that, progressing in his Krishna consciousness. And so when we see great souls, we can really aspire to try to get their association and try to hear what they have to say, because they're showing us the path of how to do like that. And it's like one for me, my false ego was always a big thing, it still is, but it's like, I remember had been around a time when Prabhupada was here, but I didn't. And I realize now, part of that was my false ego, actually. Because I was thinking, oh, I could have become a Prabhupada disciple. I was thinking like that in my heart. Although I didn't really recognize it so much, but in my heart, I analyze now, that's part of what it was, actually. And now I feel so fortunate because I realize that this false ego is what's really keeping us here in the material world. And it's something that we really have to give up. And it's like so now I realize how Krishna has arranged so nicely to put me in a situation where actually I have I can now take advantage of surrendering, say, to this saintly person to me in my eyes, that if I was, say, a Prabhupada disciple, then I wouldn't be able to surrender to him and take advantage of his instructions as now that I can. because of being a grand disciple, Srila Prabhupada goes surrender to him and more, and thus take more advantage. So, and I realize, especially what Radhanath Maharaj is saying, to me what hits me mostly is this idea of the false ego, humility, how we have to really cultivate this. Because one may progress in devotional service, another thing that hit me was that actually sense gratification is one thing that we have to disconnect ourselves with, but higher and harder than that is the false ego. And I didn't really realize that so much until recently. And so I was thinking, so as you advance in devotional service, then automatically what happens is that good qualities will come to the devotee. The qualities of the demigods becomes manifesting in the devotee as he advances more and more. And as one gets more and more advanced, then naturally they'll get more honor and more prestige, and all these things will start coming. And if one doesn't learn to cultivate the false ego and to pass it on to Krishna, and realizing it's not myself that's being glorified, but it's actually for Krishna, then actually that can be the downfall of the devotee. Just like we've seen so many great souls in our movement who's done so much service and so many things for Srila Prabhupada, and we're at one time so well saintly situated. And then when honor starts coming and glorification starts coming, and I can imagine being honored by so many hundreds or sometimes thousands of disciples, it must be very difficult to be able to not think this is me, but to pass it on to Krishna. So if one's not ready, if one so to speak goes too fast without cultivating this idea of humility, then it can backfire, and actually it could be the downfall of one's Krishna consciousness. So this concept of humility is so important. Actually, it's the hardest thing to give up. So if one can cultivate it from the very beginning and try to be humble, see each devotee as superior to themselves, try to see the new devotee also to learn something from them. It's like there's one devotee in Vancouver I think of. He's been a devotee maybe for a couple of years, but he's so humble, and I'm so impressed by his humility. And I was thinking, gosh, I can learn so much from this devotee. It's like so much. And so in any case, so we have to really try to put ourselves in a position that we see the devotees as exalted souls, rare souls that are coming to Krishna, and try to help them and serve them, or take service from them, or associate in a nice way. Like, for instance, we should never have any bad feelings about any devotees whatsoever, and if we do, we should try to rectify it, because this will definitely put a block in our advancement towards Krishna, because devotees are so dear to Krishna. Every devotee is so dear to Krishna. So we have to try to overcome our shortcomings and try to advance in Krishna consciousness. Try to go for the long-term Krishna consciousness, not just the short-term, but go for long-term Krishna consciousness, whatever it takes. And basically, this idea of humility is a very important factor. Just like we see the great saints, the Six Goswamis and so many others, their humility is genuine, real. And this is what comes when one advances, they become more and more humble. And when we see it in examples of our peers who are actually doing like that, then we can really be inspired by them. And we can realize how this process does work. If we apply ourselves, the process does work. And we just have to keep applying. And the end result will be there, that someday we will be Krishna conscious. And sometimes when the struggle is there, it's like as we become surrendered more and more to Krishna, that struggle, we learn to do it for Krishna's pleasure, and that struggle becomes pleasurable for us. So things that previously was very difficult becomes easier and becomes relishable in a Krishna conscious way. That's why, like any service that we do, no matter what it is, we should be thinking of doing it for Krishna's pleasure. And therefore, we could do anything for Krishna, sweeping the floor, whatever, anything, and we'll get that satisfaction, this is pleasing for Krishna. And this is what we have to cultivate. And in the beginning, sometimes, we may have, service that is to our constitution or to our service that is to our liking, which is okay. But ultimately, as we advance, we have to go deeper inside and really try to find, our sincerity of surrendering to Krishna more and more, and to do whatever is necessary in each situation and try to progress. And if we do like that and be patient and just continue on, then ultimately we will appreciate Krishna consciousness more and more and more. And our life will be so successful. So I'll stop here and ask if there's any questions or comments. Okay. So thank you all for your association. It's really, really nice. Actually, you may not know it or realize as much, but actually Chaupati here and the devotees here are very much appreciated in so many places, actually. I know Mother Yamuna, when she came back to Sharanagati, when she had come here, she was glorifying, you know, Chaupati so much and the nice brahmacharis and their relationships and everything. And therefore, those who are here, they should try to develop those relationships more and more, and take that mood of servant of the servant, and because our movement needs that so much these days. Actually, we need love and companionship amongst the devotees more and more, and this is what attracts people actually, and it's such an important thing, and this pleases Krishna Guru so much. So the more we can, more you are doing like that. That's very, very good preaching for the rest of us that need that more and more. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.